to connect the dots. It's time to correlate the information. This is an educational show. By the value of the content that's being spoken. It also is a call-in radio show. So, if you've got a phone, there's an opportunity to say what is on your mind. Not just what I talk about, but maybe you've got something important to talk about. Hey, the number here is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, what is happening? I'll tell you what's happening. The December 21st is tomorrow. And that is the winter solstice. What time is it happening? Well, it happens at a different time in your time zone. So you have to check your time zone and find out exactly things you do. In fact, the internet will tell you. Just ask the question of the machines and they will tell you what time in your time zone the winter solstice takes place. The shortest day of the year. So it's something to think about, you know? Well, if it's the shortest day of the year, why isn't that the first day of the year or the last day of the year? And, you know, the modern day calendar, the first day of the year is January 1st. The last day of the year is December 31st. But that doesn't go in sync with December 21st being the shortest day of the year, whether that's the last or the first. It really gets confusing the more you even think about it. And it's time to connect the dots here. You know, people have brought up before, and something to think about, December, today's modern day calendar, it's the 12th month. But DEC, DES, represents the number 10. You know, and if you backtrack, November could be considered 9, Nueva, if we're going in Spanish. And October, which is our 10th month nowadays, Oct refers to the number 8. So why isn't October the 8th month instead of the 10th month? Then we go back to September. Sept refers or correlates to the number 7. But on our present day calendar, it's the 9th month. And it more confusing is we hear people talking about the 13-month calendar of the past, and that there is 13 zodiac signs, not just 12. And that even makes it more confusing. And there's people saying, well, near, but not actually on the, what could we say, the spring equinox should be the first month of the year. But that's March 20th, 21st, something like that. But then we have people saying, well, April 1st should be the first day of the year. If in relation to a 13th month calendar. In fact, I'm not too sure what they call the 13th month. Then there's other things to correlate. A woman's period cycle is 28 days. You know, a 13 month calendar, every month would have 28 days. The moon cycle is roughly 28 days also. So that favors a 13-month calendar. And then we have to start thinking, and well, we don't have to, but people start thinking, well, who set up the 12-month calendar? And is what kind of a deception is this with a 365 and a quarter day cycle, 24-hour cycle, 365 and a quarter, 24-hour cycles for the Earth to travel around the sun to get back to the same spot in the sky? And then in the past, we've had people saying that, well, long ago, there was, trying to correlate with 12 months exactly. The Earth's cycle around the sun was only 360 days, which meant an even 30 days for each month. So here we go, people trying to maybe jam the square peg into the round hole and saying, look, it fits. At least with a 360-day cycle. But we have all kinds of modern measurements today. We know it's 365 and a quarter. So what did the Earth traveling around the sun, did that actually change at some point? Or was it the 12-month calendar artificially imposed upon us to confuse us? And, of course, there's a lot of other things that are imposed upon humanity to confuse us. So why not that, too? Well, we want disclosure. Will it happen? You know? If we're counting on the U.S. government, they're not going to give us full disclosure. Probably no government will. You know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The people of a country, of a nation, and their government are really two separate entities. You know, basically, governments of nations serve the elite, and the elite run the world, and that's, you know, to the unfortunate situations for the masses. Because the governments are not really serving the people that they were elected or supposed to be serving. In some cases, we know governments impose, they set themselves up as governments or military dictatorships, and they rule with an iron fist, and it has nothing to do with electing them. And when they do have elections, it's all predetermined who's going to win. And they just go through the motions, and they cheat and cheat and cheat. And doesn't matter whom the people voted for, they're going to make it come out so that the chosen person of the elite becomes the leader of the nation, and the elite continue to rule the world. How long has this been going on? Does anybody have the real answer to that? Hey, this is call-in radio show. If you're listening to my voice, call in and tell us if you believe you have the answer to these perplexing questions, perplexing realities. Do you know? Or do you think you do? That's debatable. Can you prove this? Can you prove that? You know, that's always an interesting argument to have with somebody else. You say, prove to me that that is so. And then the person will attempt to orate so-called proof, making statements to convince you that he has the proof. But when you, the other person, keep saying, well, I hear what you're saying, but your words are not proof. And this game can go on forever. And it's kind of an unwinnable game if the other person keeps saying, I hear what you say, but your words are not proof. And then you can try to come up with proof, you know, there's proof of that. And the other person just keeps saying, I don't accept that. You're saying that, I hear what you're saying, but your words are not proof. It's try playing that game with somebody sometime and see, can anybody prove anything? Or, you know, do we just accept certain things as accepted? You know, we can accept that the sun disappears kind of like behind the Earth, as the Earth is rotating, and we know it's going to come back roughly 24 hours later and go through the same cycle again. And so you kind of accept that that's going to happen, whether there's proof of it or not. And we accept a lot of things in life, and we just accept it. And if we all agree that that's the way it works, well, that's kind of proof in itself, or is it? Very perplexing questions I'm asking there. And a good place to start with these perplexing questions is the calendar. And all these things I've been talking about, talk to your friends about them and see who knows what, who can prove what, and have things been changed? Have we all been duped? Has there been a mass hypnosis put on the human race to accept certain things? It's pretty well can be documented that the December 21st is the shortest amount of daylight in a year on planet Earth as it spins around the sun in its orbit of 365.25 days, roughly speaking. And from that point on, each day, there's more daylight every day. And here's something to think about, too. Because the Earth is tilted at 23.5 degrees, I believe, you know, what is the shortest amount of daylight here in the Northern Hemisphere would be the longest amount of daylight in the Southern Hemisphere. So who's right? Is it the Northern Hemisphere that's right? Or is it the Southern Hemisphere that's right? So what could be the longest day could be the shortest day, and vice versa. And the equal amount of daylight, sunlight, is at the equinoxes. So, and there's where the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere are in sync. Something to think about. And that's, I think, why some people say that should be the beginning of the year at the equinoxes, either one. And more perplexing questions in understanding. Like right now, we're at the beginning of winter. We're still in autumn today, being the 20th. But, and we think of that as the cold weather. You know, hey, I'm doing a show from New York City, so I'm the Northern Hemisphere. Well, my whole life we thought about December. It's a cold month, you know. And winter starts on the 21st. But in the Southern Hemisphere, it's the exact opposite. Warm, it's their summertime. So, will we ever agree on anything? Now, we could agree on that the equinox is the same on the Northern Hemisphere as in the southern hemisphere. But again, still, that doesn't explain the 12-month calendar versus the 13-month calendar. And so it goes. Very perplexing questions. And then we talk about the tilt of the Earth. We have to consider the information out there about was there always a tilt on the Earth, or was one time it no tilt? True North was the real North, and the magnetic North were in sync. And what gave it that 23.5 degree tilt? Was it intentionally done by the dark forces to create the phantom matrix? You know, most people have never even heard of the phantom matrix, but there's a, we could say, a famous author out there, Ashiana Dean, or Yasha. Not her real name, but it's the name she took on as an author and being in contact with her buddies. And from the higher realms. And they talk about a 15-dimensional system, dimensions being different frequency ranges. I never heard, I came up with the idea, actually, and put it in my book, Connect the Dots Theory, the book from which I got the name for the show. Yeah. And, yeah, the name of the show here is Connect the Dots. The book I had published in, a number of years ago was called Connect the Dots Theory. It's still out there. You can download it for $5 to $7. You can order from the book company, Full Books, publishers did it, and or you used to be able to order it from Barnes & Noble, but now you can get it from Amazon, iTunes, and stuff like that. And it does have original stuff in it, and it's an educational book, and it has photographic proof that we are sharing our space, you know, with an invisible to human sight life forms that fly around. How big are they? I don't know. Size of birds, size of insects. It's hard to tell, but these creatures that are just out of the realm of our capabilities of seeing as human beings can be picked up by the camera. And my book, Connect the Dots Theory, has plenty of pictures taken with a 35 millimeter camera, for which I have the negatives, to kind of show proof that these were undoctored photos of what goes on at night. And that's something that just about nobody on Earth really knows about it, unless you happen to get a copy of Connect the Dots Theory. You can get a preview of it, of course, on, thanks to Google, first 43 pages are for free viewing. And the 75 photos of things flying around at night, leaving light trails, there might be one or two in the first 43 pages. And of course, there's drawings there showing before I started taking pictures of things I witnessed coming out of the sky, outlined in dots, kind of like that place mat thing that used to be at diners in America called Connect the Dots. where you connect the dots and you got a picture. And though I didn't take pictures in the first chapter, was the drawings of what I first saw one night out in the wilderness. Things, outlines of things coming out of the sky, and you could see the energy flow between the dots, which was creating an outline of all kinds of unusual curved shafts of light coming out of the sky. And weird thoughts popping into my head that were definitely telepathic. And it took me by surprise the first time I saw it. And, you know, it's amazing that nobody ever talks about this. And I claim to be the first one to take pictures of it. Once I got myself a camera, I went back curious and see if I could get pictures of it. And sure enough, I was able to. And that set me off and correlating a lot of information. Eventually, I put it into book form. And I called it Connect the Dots Theory. It's not so much a theory, it's a correlation of findings, observations, photographic images, unaltered photographic images. And, you know, drawings of my personal experiences, witnessing these things happening, coming out of the sky, and some of the words, thoughts that were going through my head when it was happening. Thoughts like, I was good reading material. You know, at first, my ego said, wow, yeah, I'm a stud, you know? Because I had been pretty successful in life with women, and I took it as a compliment. And then on a second thought, I thought, wait a second, breeding material? What? Am I being sized up for an abduction by extraterrestrials? Are they going to take me to some other world and use me as a stud to breed offspring for maybe a slave human race on another world? You know, that was kind of scary, though. And then I noticed these dots coming out of the sky kind of like getting closer to me. And I immediately thought, man, I'd be a little safer around other people. So I quickly left the remote area and got closer to a larger group of people that were around the fire. The main fire at this gathering out in the wilderness where there were no traffic lights, no cops, no civilization, just the only light was a big bonfire being at the center point of the gathering in the wilderness. So anyhow, it's amazing that nobody ever talks about these things. And I found out by inquisitively asking that these events, these gatherings, are set up by the Native American Indians or indigenous peoples. Now, not all indigenous people of North America participate in this gathering. It's only a few tribes. One of them in particular refers to themselves as the Rainbow Tribe. Has nothing to do with the gay rainbow community whatsoever. It has to do with star connections and rainbow being like that light connection that shows up after a storm in the sky. Sometimes there's double rainbows. But mainly, these contacts with these, I guess we could call them alien extraterrestrials, that come and mingle with the indigenous North American Indians at particular times every year, wherever they decide to hold the location, and it's different every year, the main gathering, sometimes referred to as a gathering of the tribes. But you can find out a lot about that in my book, Connect the Dots Theory, but this is a reality happening. And it's like the sky opens up, it's outlined by points of dots, and you can actually, if you have your vision, a way to expand your vision beyond the normal parameters, you can actually see the energy flow like a bunch of lines connecting these dots. And it creates images of like shafts or curved roads coming out of the sky down to maybe 10 feet above your head. And so it's some kind of like funnel, portal, traveling dimension that's set up and disappears into the sky. And you can be sure that the aliens are using this kind of like, I guess it's a transport device to come down and mingle among us. And are they shapeshifters and taking on human form so they can interact with us without scaring us? Or are they just spirit beings that hover above us and communicate with us telepathically? Anyhow, it's an amazing experience. And again, I am baffled why nobody in my lifetime that I've ever met or on TV shows or anything talks about this amazing phenomenon. And it happens at least once a year. A meeting between our extraterrestrial brothers and sisters and indigenous Native Americans. And these events, these gatherings, happen usually the first week in July. So when July rolls around again, start looking for July 7th is a common day. You know, has nothing to do with celebrating July 4th, America's Independence Day. It has to do with all other kinds of things about our galactic brothers and sisters meeting with us. Now, what's interesting to find out, you know, when we're talking about galactic races, there's the dark forces, the inventors of the Phantom Matrix. And like I said, you need to check with Ashiana Dean and her celestial friends who've gave her the information for writing her books, Voyager 1, Voyager 2. And when I took some time to look into these things, the Phantom Matrix is something created by the dark side, where it's connected to a black hole on one end, from which they cannot get beyond the 11th and a half dimension. They can't make it to the 12th dimension because these are the rebels that broke away from God. But as crazy as it sounds, blew up the bridge behind them, blew up the stargate, blew up the connective link between God and the lower dimensions, you know? Yeah, there is a God. And the best info on that, if you want to look it up, it's not on the internet, no. People started telling me about it, and it turns out to be something that was published in the last 20th century, known as the fifth epochal revelation to humanity. Epochal, referring to the highest level of understanding at that particular point in time. And that same apocryphal revelation also talks about this fifth apocryphal revelation, refers to the teachings of Jesus as being the fourth epochal revelation to humanity. And of course, if you have a good understanding of Jesus of Nazareth, who was had taken on human form, he was on a mission from the real God to talk about the love of God and what a loving God, the real God is, not the false gods. You know, the false gods are a lot of the, that famous book called the Bible. A lot of those scriptures are scriptures inspired by the false gods. Yeah, that's right. When you're reading things like an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, the real God would never say anything like that, but the false gods would, because their way of ruling and setting themselves up as power structures, pretending to be gods, has to do with might is right. And if you read that part of the Bible, referred to as the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of those scriptures. This is a God that gets angry. This is a God that threatens to punish you if you don't kiss his butt and do exactly what he says. The real God would never be like that, but the false gods would, because that's all they know. Might is right. Their might makes them right. And if you don't obey, you're going to pay. And a lot of the Old Testament in the Bible, the Jewish scriptures, from way back up until the 4th century B.C., something like that, is basically, a lot of it is false God scripture based on, you know, false gods pretending to be God and giving their information of what, how they want to play God and how you should obey them and how you have to sacrifice animals for them and do this for them and do that for them and get down on your knees and worship. The real God does not ask you to get down on your knees and worship him. And what can I say? But I've told you where to find the info. The fifth apocryphal revelation explains these things. But you need to correlate that with like books like The 12th Planet, which gives you a lot of information about one of the major false god groups that came here and started taking control of Earth. 450,000 years ago they landed, and then they started taking control of humanity about 300,000 years ago. You can find that info in the book called The 12th Planet by Zachariah Sitchin. So when you correlate that with the most recent information, the fifth apocryphal revelation from the 20th century, as opposed to the fourth apocryphal revelation, the teachings of Jesus from about 2,000 years ago, and the other epochal revelations, the first, the second, and third. One of them is what was revealed via Adam and Eve. And that story, there's different versions of it. You know, I favor the newest one, the fifth epochal revelation, that explains it in terms of what really makes sense. You know, a snake talking to people. I mean, you know, shapeshifters can do that. They can turn themselves into a snake. Practitioners of black magic could do that. And but at the same time, a more realistic attitude is Eve got seduced by one of the dark side representatives, and she broke her vows to only have children with Adam. And she gave birth to a child that was a half-breed. You know, part of the Adam and Eve story, they were to come. They were 8-foot-tall beings of the higher dimensions that came here and with a mission to breed evolved human beings. And it was Eve who got seduced by a good-looking, fast-talking, you know, Don Juan-type guy. And he said, you can have sex with me. Forget about your mission. We all have sex with each other here on Earth. And she got conned into it. Must have been a good-looking guy and had the lines, you know, knew what to say, knew what to do, and he seduced her, got her pregnant. And that's why was the fall of the Adam and Eve plan to upgrade humanity. So that story is in the fifth apocalyptic action. It makes sense. A girl gets conned, and it's still going on today. Women get conned by sweet-talking men that have good looks and know what to say and what to do, and they fall for it. And that's why that's a more realistic story of Adam and Eve. And she had taken vows before her mission on Earth to only have sex with Adam. You know, it was like a marriage situation. You're only supposed to have sex with the person you're married to. That was their mission, and she broke her vows, and that was the end of Adam and Eve. The celestial overseers of their mission shortly thereafter came down and told her, look, you messed up. So we're going to take away your immortality, and you're going to live a limited lifespan like the rest of humanity that's been forced upon them by the dark side. And, you know, if you're familiar with the Bible, when you read that bit in the Old Testament, I will limit man's years to 120. Thus, the dark forces, that's the false god talking. And they knew how to genetically do that. You know, people always question, well, how do these older people live 700, 800, 900 years? You know, well, that was a normal amount of time until the dark god, the false god, genetically made it difficult so people couldn't live more than 120 years. You know, the real God gives without limit. That's in the teachings of Jesus, the fourth apocryphal revelation. And it wouldn't make any sense for the real God to, real God is forgiving, you know, the punishment. That was a punishment by the false gods, because that's the only way the false gods know how to act. And they made the statement on, I'm sorry, I need man. You know, they had altered humanity, and they didn't like the way it was going to their satisfaction because they wanted obedient slaves. But, you know, the thirst for freedom, it was still a thirst for freedom in the humanity, even though they were down, you know, they were wrongly dealt the wrong hand and ruled with punishment and all kinds of bad things. And so there was more punishment shortening the lifespan of man. And again, to truly understand, when you read the Bible, if you read it, a lot of people go to church, I let the preacher misinform them because he doesn't have he went to seminary school to get brainwashed to tell people what the scriptures mean. And a lot of what they're told is wrong interpretations. In order to correctly, if you want to consider yourself a scholar and consider all the possibilities, you have to read other books, the old saying, God save me from people that only read one book. And you've got to have other sources of information and then correlate it and connect the dots. Yeah, like the name of the show, connect the dots. And then you'll see that there's a different interpretation. Again, the real God does not, expect you to go an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. He expects you to be loving and forgiving the way Jesus taught in when he was giving the fourth apocalypse revelation. And of course, Jesus, he gained fame in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the Christ. But at the same time, when you correlate the information from the fifth apocalypse revelation, the newest source of information, and the newest source of information is always the most accurate, because it was what humanity was able to comprehend in the early part of the 20th century, which was a lot more than people could comprehend 2,000 years ago when Jesus of Nazareth was walking the earth trying to enlighten people, having a difficult time doing it, and a lot of confrontations from the false religious people who were using religion to extort money and power from common people. So you'll learn that the one we call on earth in the Christian religion, the one we call Jesus Christ, that is not his real celestial name. He's a co-creator, one of the many co-creators in the heavenly realms that co-creates with the real God, the Heavenly Father, and all of the co-creators carried the name Michael. And just like with Jesus of Nazareth, it's Michael of Nebadon, the name of our universe, as far as the official records go. But you can find all that info out in the fifth apocalypse revelation. The reason I talk about it, because it explains things, both explains how the universe is set up, explains the countless number of celestial beings that were created long before humans were created to keep the universe running and in orderly fashion. And unfortunately, and all the beings of before the creation of mankind, they were all eternal beings. But who knows, by hook or crook or by what type of thinking, the dark side formed somewhere along the line, way back, went back before. And they decided that because unless you're on paradise, you don't really get to see God. You know, it's an invisible spirit. God is a spirit, not bodily form. Of course, he can, being all-powerful, he can create a form and occupy that form at will. And he set up a universe. It's all explained in the fifth apocalypse revelation. They take you from the original source of all that is, the first two creations, or actually the first creation, which encompassed two creations, was God making himself into a trinity. You know, some people refer to it, some of the extraterrestrials out there refer to God as source. Well, yeah, the real God is the original source of all there is, but it's consciousness without shape or form, pure life with a personality. So it's more than just an inanimate source. It's personality. It has conscious thinking that you can connect with. In fact, all humans are connected to God. And our trip here on Earth, this is a sojourn, a visitation to experience what it is to have a flesh and blood body, a carbon flesh and blood body. And reason I mention that is because we're at a time now where the last 26,000-year cycle is coming to an end. We're moving into what's referred to sometimes as the Age of Aquarius, where it's going to be a new 26,000-year cycle. Actually, it's more accurately 25,920 years. The amount of time it takes the sun to go around and come back to the same point in the sky, so to speak. Everything is circling around something that's circling around something. There's wheels around wheels around wheels. And everything is like a giant grandfather clock. That's how the universe works. That is also explained in the Pentateuch Revelation. That's what I love about the book. It explains to you the workings of the universe. Doesn't explain anything. What one book could explain anything. Everything, rather. But it explains to you the workings of things, you know. You take the Bible, that correlation of 66 books, call it the world's first encyclopedia, written by men. Pentateuch Revelation is not written by men. All the writings are beings not of this earth. That, for the benefit of the human race, transmuted their knowledge into the English language, so there's no translation lost there, to a group of people that had taken notes here, right here in America, as writing. You know, people talk about the Holy Land, and because Jesus was there, that's the part of the earth that got the fourth apocryphal revelations. But the fifth apocryphal revelation was given to the people of the United States of America. That's right. In this book, the info of that, those revelations were published in the middle of the last century. Very few people know about it. Very few people talk about it. But if you want to know the explanations of how things work in the universe, that is a great source of information because it explains things. Whereas the Bible doesn't really explain things. It gives you a lot of scriptures and rememberings. And sometimes there's information that was, it's being claimed, was the Word of God. And if you talk about what is the Word of God when you read the Bible, quite frankly, it's, with a few exceptions, it's just what Jesus, the Gospels of Jesus. Because if you read them correctly, and this rarely gets explained in any church, Jesus of Nazareth was like probably the only human being on the face of the earth when he went out there to teach that said, everything I tell you is not of my own volition. I'm not making these things up. I'm in communication with the Heavenly Father, the original source of all there is, and I only tell you what he tells me to. And yes, God is referred to as a he, because that was the terminology from the beginning. There were only he's in the beginning because all creation was done without sex. It wasn't until the creation of the co-creators, the beings known as the Michaels, who manifest a partner, which could be called the original Mother Mary, and they created the beings, the sex beings, you know, where there's male and female, and these beings get to co-create on their own, just like people do, you know. But in the beginning, there was no sex beings. There was only, we can call them neuter beings. And we're not talking about, when I say beings, I'm not talking about a can of beans. Let me just clarify that because it's so easy. So many words sound alike. And somebody could listen to me and say, I'm listening to this crazy guy talk about beans like in the supermarket. No, I'm not talking about cans of beans or beans growing on plants. I'm talking about B-E-I-N-G-S, beans, you know, like humans, human beings. And the other beans, animal, B-E-I-N-G-S. And, of course, nowadays we're finding out creatures like dolphins and whales, they're pretty smart, almost like humans. And so much for that. Hey, this is a call-in radio show. I've been educating you listeners on a lot of interesting, important things. If you got a phone, call in and give your take on did you learn something tonight? Are you aware of all these things I'm talking about? And the number here is 888-627-6008. All you need is a phone and the desire to communicate over the airwaves. Yeah, this is a live broadcast. You know, which brings me to the mind, the laws of matter fit station. Three things need to take place. One, you have to make a decision to do something. Then you have to make an invocation, speak it out, what you just made a decision to do. And then third, you got to take the physical action to move this decision of creating something along. So calling into the show, you got to make the decision you want to call. You got to say to yourself or say it out loud, I want to call into this live radio show and give my 2 cents. And then you physically got to pick up the telephone and call the number, 888-627-6008. And you'll be manifesting communication here. Hey, you might want to look into it. The Emerald Flame is present. Being broadcasted into the earth plane. A very powerful flame. You know, you can call in this flame, really. You'd be surprised what humans can do. You've been lied to your whole life and told you're nothing but a dumb worker slave, you know? And you believed that, and then you didn't search out and attempt to make use of all the abilities that you have. Of course, it's harder when you only have 2 strands DNA, but that's being changed right now as I speak. And we're going to have the event coming up somewhere, the Metamorphosis of Humanity, where we're going to shed the carbon-based body and trade it in for a silicon-based, diamond-like, shining body. It's coming, you know, nobody knows the day. Jesus spoke about this when he was giving the fourth apocalypse, and he was giving his teachings to humanity 2,000 years. He talked about the day that nobody knows when it's going to happen because the Heavenly Father himself will decide when it's happening. And that's what this upcoming event is, the Metamorphosis of Humanity, and nobody knows exactly what time except we have a lot of signs that we're getting close to. Meanwhile, down to Earth, January 11th, President Trump says he's going to make something happen on January 11th, 2026. Let's hope it's something good. Let's hope for something good. And so it's something to look forward to, and let's be positive and give him a chance to do something good. You know, New Year, January 11th, let's look forward to that, and let's wish and think positively something good will happen for all of us. Yeah. So, hey, if you got, you're a shy person, don't want to make a phone call into the show, if it's a live call-in show, Hey, you can communicate with me on Twitter. My hashtag is Tom Edison Prez. TomEdisonPrez. That's my hashtag on Twitter. You want to email me? It's TomEdison.solutions@tutanota.com. That's TomEdison.solutions, just like it sounds, TomEdison.solutions@tutanota, TUTANOTA.com. And you can email me there. Okay, everybody, we're coming to the end of the show. I hope somebody out there listening learned something tonight, because this is an educational show. And, hey, hope for the best. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And, hey, look into the calendar thing and do something special tomorrow. Find out what the exact time of the winter solstice is, and contact the universe out there mentally, and try to contact the Galactic Confederation. They're the good guys, by the way. They're coming to Earth, bringing us goodies and free energy and stuff like that. Okay. Fellow people, I'm going to give the countdown. You got to follow by my lead guitar solo at the end of my song. Are you the party in kind? Are you mine? Followed by my anthem. I got to be somebody. First song on my album, my CD Baby album, Songs Better Than Dylan. I got to be somebody. Okay, Mr. Engineer, here's the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.